Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for part 3, our concluding discussion of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. But first, let's pray. Almighty God, grant today that by your Holy Spirit your word may come alive to us as we hear it and receive it, so that we may be empowered for faithful witness in this time and place. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so I'm reading from Matthew chapter 4. The temptations of Jesus are from verse 1 through to verse 11, and I'll be reading verse 8 to 11. Again the devil took him, that is Jesus, to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. May God bless his word to us today and always. As I said, this is part 3 at our look at the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. But before we begin, here are 2 things we've discussed so far by way of a recap. First, we learned that the temptations of Jesus provides God's people with a high priest redeemer, who is in touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin, according to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, in the words of the Message. His temptations also provided God's people with an example of how to overcome evil, namely, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and by employing the Word of God. The second thing I want us to remember is we found that the concept of a time of testing fits with biblical thinking. It's not foreign to the Bible, particularly for an important figure like Jesus. In fact, the temptation of Jesus seems to follow similar Old Testament accounts, such as the 40-day fast of Moses on the Mount in Exodus chapter 24, or of Elijah in the wilderness in 1 Kings chapter 19. Once we make contact with these 2 figures, Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament, we find an important link between these 3. For the 3 of them mark the 3 stages in the history of the covenant, according to well-known Bible scholar Alfred Edersheim. Moses and Elijah feature in the Gospels, he tells us, in the account of the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and Mark 9 and Luke 9, thus providing a bridge between the Old and New Covenants, the whole of which we may speak of as the Covenant. Moses was the giver of the Covenant, and Elijah its restorer. Jesus, the Messiah, its renewer and the one who perfects it. Each one faced their time of testing in their representative capacity with respect to the covenant. When we compare them, Moses was angry with Israel, Elijah despaired of Israel, and Jesus overcame for Israel. And this would extend to us, the church. Thus, the account of Christ's temptation in the wilderness is not a foreign and strange concept, but Jesus proves to be the final one who will mediate between God and humankind and does so in a completely all-sufficient way. With these things in mind, the temptations of Jesus are readily received by the first hearers of the gospel, the Jewish nation. So in all of this we learn that Jesus came to dwell among us in human form to do 2 things. First, to bring an end to the old covenant so that a new covenant could be instituted. And second, to help us realize that he has never been out of touch with our humanity. If this was ever in question, we have the record that he came down and dwelt among us and experienced life as we live it, with all its ups and downs, as well as the many opportunities to give in to temptation. It then becomes a matter of trust on our part. Will we cling to God and His Word in our most difficult moments, or will we walk in our own strength and most likely come short of the mark? But now it's time for us to turn our attention to the final encounter Jesus had with the devil and to consider the idea of allegiance. And so let's read that passage from Matthew 4 verse 8 to 9 again. It says the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. So Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The question we may ask is this, was the devil trying to give away what was not his? Apparently not, since Jesus did not say anything to contradict his claim. What we can be sure of is this. In Luke chapter 4 verse 6, the devil says the following, I will give you all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. This makes clear that whatever authority and claim he had in the earth was given or delivered to him by God. What we do not hear in this conversation is that it was not a permanent possession of Satan's. So in that respect, he was in fact offering something that did not belong to him. Note Jesus' simple yet profound response. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It's a clear answer. There is no room to renegotiate the matter. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people could be as crystal clear about their faith all the time? How often have we been double-minded or not wanted to offend someone, so instead we would rather offend God? On another note, we realize that people have always struggled with a divided allegiance throughout the ages. In Old Testament times, Israel was often conflicted in that many were not pure Yahweh or Jehovah followers. There was often some other God brought into their lives, into their homes. And in the time of Jesus, we hear from him of the Mammon God, who can claim the allegiance of people. Here the idea of being besotted with wealth and riches was a dangerous thing. Today we recognize that there are many little gods that want our allegiance. Apart from the attraction of money, there is power, position, self-image, sports, beauty, possessions, even family. The list goes on. The bottom line is this. Anything or anyone that demands our devotion to the extent that God is second in the equation leaves us on shaky ground if we give in to it. In his encounter, we see Jesus tempted to enter into power and possession and glory at the expense of his allegiance to God. We see that Jesus locates earthly power and riches as opponents of the faith when they replace God in the life of the believer. And so we must end by asking, what of us? Where do we face similar challenges which perhaps threaten to compromise our allegiance to God? And how can we fix that? What needs to happen to change that picture? We measure it in the simple ways in which we live out our faith in this world, through the discipline of fellowship, through the life choices we make, and through the lifestyles we practice. These are things we ought to visit regularly so that we can check ourselves. And so may God help us to that end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example we have in Jesus, who though he was truly God and truly man, faced temptation just as we do, but was without sin. Thank you for your grace to overcome. Help us to stand firm against the wiles of the evil one, knowing that if you are for us, nothing or no one can be against us. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.